Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode 150. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, guys?
Deja vu.
It is. It's like we've been here before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like we've done this.
Yeah.
A time or two or 12.
Time or two or...
1,000.
Something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Doing all right?
Even just tonight, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm all right.
Yeah, well, doing good.
That's debatable.
Feeling all right.
Mm. Sean saying he's all right? Eh, I don't know.
Cut the cord.
We are good. It's the second recording of the night, so we'll get back to being one ahead now.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way we like it. Since somebody messed up the last episode on, and I went along with it though.
Oh yeah, well
that's all right.
Honest mistake.
That's okay. It's just another.
That's right.
Zero deduction.
No, you're right. How can I can't take very many more.
Yeah. No, it's good though. We're having a good week, and tomorrow's Thursday. It's always make it to that Friday.
What happens on Friday?
Friday night.
Friday night is right.
Yeah. Oh no, I got to work tomorrow on Friday, but I don't work on Friday nights. That's the nights I like to go home and sit on the couch and let the pups lay on me and watch a movie or show and conk out. Typically,
but, I know Elton John likes Saturday night, but you're a Friday night kind of guy. He should have written a song about Friday night.
I do. I love Friday nights.
Friday.
Pace yourself, Sean. Pace yourself.
I will. Yeah, I need just enough energy for this episode.
Yeah, we're doing good, though. We just had a good discussion on whatever we talked about. Everglades, I think. So, let's get right to it.
Yes.
The main event of the event.
This is the only reason we come here, you said, right?
That's the only reason I do. I don't know about you guys, but the dad joke of the show. You ready, Nate?
I am always ready.
He is ready, Sean. I can tell
you. I just made that noise of constipation, but I actually am excited.
So, question. Creepies. Nate, Sean, what do you call a fish wearing a bow tie? Hmm. What would you call a fish wearing a bow tie?
Don Knotts.
No. Don Knotts, like, everybody. No, it is not Don Knotts.
That makes me think of an old movie. Is sir?
I know what.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's a sophisticated.
Oh, now that's even better than Don Knotts.
Sophisticated, Nate. That's.
I bet that I'm not the only one out there thinking.
Fish sticks.
Oh, fish.
I liked it myself. I'm pretty proud of that.
Very, very educated.
Yeah.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby. Thank you. An
intellectual joke.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's what we are here, Mike.
It's a little fishy, though.
As the creepies are rolling their eyes. Yeah, all right. Sophisticated, and you are welcome, creepies. That is the Todd's dad joke of the show.
Yeah.
Let's see. Moving on to, Sean.
Me?
First announcements.
Oh, I got the
first. How about that?
First part of the announcements.
My gosh, let's get crazy with it.
As we always, I don't know about crazy, but as we always say, that we come here for the guy time, the paranormal, the creepy, to clear our throats, right, Todd? hit our heads on the mic. What else do
cut
we do?
Mic.
Sorry, cut, cut it out. But the most important thing we can do here is create a community for mental health and mental health awareness. We want you guys to get help out there. We all need it, especially me sometimes more than others. So please call or text 988 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you may be experiencing. You can also text HOME to 741-741 for professional help. If you or someone you know is experiencing bullying, contact stopbullying.gov for help. Reach out to our Facebook group, Instagram account, email, or message us for added support. That is what our Mako family is all about.
Not bad. That's all I can say. Not bad.
True words.
Shabby.
True words were never spoke. Good job, Sean. I like that. That was a really good job. Make sure you're taking care of yourselves. We're getting through this cold weather and darkness, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. And just hang in there, and hang in there for each other.
Did you read that on a fortune cookie?
I did not.
Oh, no.
I'm just full of wisdom.
You are.
I'm full of something. Yeah, so we love our creepies, don't we?
You're channeling Hallmark, aren't you?
I'm channeling something. Don't be a bully, or I'll have to bully you. And, yeah.
It sounds logical.
Yeah, that does.
No bull about it.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
It's bull. Bull caca.
That's right. Yeah, we were just talking about, before we started recording, about, you know, people reaching out a little bit more, getting more confident, and mentioning that they might be struggling with whatever. Or, and like Nate said, it is still hard, though, to be the person to reach out to them if you're suspecting maybe somebody's struggling or might be going through a time that's, you know, if it's mental health related or whatever. But, yeah. You know, like I said, rather be wrong than not reach out at all, right, for them to say. But, yeah, we gotta be looking out for one another. So,
are you saying we're all in this together?
We are.
That is true words have never been spoken there, right?
Yeah, I've had a pretty good week. Like I said, you know, I said the last episode, you know, and it's true. It's hard for me to get out of bed, and, man, it's like everything I can do. And but this week, actually, it's only Wednesday, but I've actually been getting out of bed pretty – when I say – pretty easy. It's not easy. It's just easier, you know, but I'm not dragging as much. And I've been low on sleep, which is always the case, but trying to. My goal and my wife's is to, my diet is so poor. I've always had a sweet tooth. It's been, you know, I mean, I do eat healthy stuff, but it's just that snacking throughout the day. Man, if I can cut back on some of that junk. Like, so today for snacks, I brought a little baggie of blueberries, a baggie of celery and carrots. I love that stuff, you know, but it's just a pain.
Did you wash it down with some Peeps?
I did.
Like some dried Peeps.
Right. no, but like, that doesn't help. My diet does not help me. So the other night,
anything with the word die in it is probably
the other night. I'm going to call myself out. It was Monday night, and this is how bad it was. I was home late and I was hungry and I didn't want to take the time to fix anything of like substance that's, you know, and you shouldn't eat late, but I'm like, whatever. And if you do, eat something healthy. Yeah. I had my daughter's birthday cake. There's one piece left. I go to bed. This is, I don't know, 12:30 at night. Birthday cake and a mini Coke. I said, this is what I'm doing to my body. A mini Coke and cake right before bed. Mm-hmm. That was smart.
Mm-hmm. You slept zero.
Actually, I didn't have a hard time falling asleep, and that usually doesn't affect me like that. It's just like, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. You know, come on. So I think, because they do say food can affect not just your body and all that, but like your mood, you know.
Have
or
you
your,
decided?
Or your so yeah, your sleep.
Have you decided
that.
What to call your inner critic yet?
No, I have not. What'd you name yours? Mac?
Mac.
Nate, what'd you call
either yours? Mac or Gus, and I went with Mac.
Or did you come up with a name?
Shut up.
Shut up.
Shut up and dance, remember?
Shut up, Mac. No, oh, wait. Mac and shut up, and I don't know what I'm going to.
Who's on first?
I can't wait to see what Todd comes up with.
I'll let you know.
Your knee-jerk reaction was Amy, remember?
Yeah. No, she's, oh my gosh, that poor girl, pray for her. you know what I might do? I might just put it on Facebook, on our creepies, and have a, what name can I name my inner critic? Yeah, there you go. Come up with a name.
Hedgehog.
Hedgehog. Wait a minute.
Oh, now that's a great idea.
Horny hedgehog?
Well.
Oh.
Stop it. Look at my leg.
All right. Yeah, take care of yourselves, creepies. We love you guys, so be healthy. Shout outs. Sean, I'll start with you this time. Shout outs.
No.
Okay.
That was a
fantastic, smooth answer.
You like that?
Smooth.
Yup.
That's
caveman talk.
Is that a no?
That's caveman okay. For no.
Sean, jeez, now you got me all messed up. Nate. Sorry. Nate is your name. Nate, any
that is my name.
Don't worry about it.
No shout outs here.
Okay. Oh. Nate is no. He's 0 for 2, or maybe he's 2 for 2 on no shout out. No? Yeah. Well, something like
if
that.
You're not first, you're last.
That's right. As the great Ricky Bobby. what is it? Second place is first loser. That's right. Another great movie. My gosh. Amy and I love
We're
that.
We're full
movie.
Of good movies.
It is. Oh.
Good music, good movies.
Here's of all the scenes, like there's just countless scenes. The one, my wife's favorite is when, he passed away. It was a real big muscle guy, black guy that was part of the pit crew. And he's like, Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. Don't you put... She loves that. And I got her a sticker that said that. Don't put to the... And mine is when... It's just subtle, but when he goes up and he leaves the tickets for his dad, and his dad finally shows up to the ticket office to pick him up at will call, and she's like, "Man, you don't know how long these tickets been waiting for." And he's like, "Yeah, and it's real." And he's like, "Who needs to?" The dad is scalping the tickets. That I'm like, that's genius there. That's genius writing. Who needs to? Trying to get the money.
Ricky Bobby.
Oh, I could talk about it. Sometimes I wish we just talked about silly movies like that. I don't have any shout outs either. I don't. What did we do for the last? Oh, yeah. Cafe.
This is a cafe.
Special announcements. Sean and I met Roman and Mari at the Black House Cafe. We're hoping to do maybe a meet and greet in March.
They're awesome.
That's right.
Can't say good things about it.
That's coming up, hopefully. We'll work out the details. And then, of course, September 21st on a Saturday at Greenwood Happy Haunts in Greenwood, Indiana. Our friends Scott and Corey Steenburgen, the owners, we are doing a live event. And we're excited about it. And we'll have our good friend Austin Lawrence. Now, he is a paranormal investigator and an author. And he's been on the show before. So... look out for some more information on that. Probably next month, because that'll be 7 months away. So that's when I want to get the ticket information, and then I'll talk to Scott and Corey, get the exact time we want to start. But it will be Saturday the 21st. I'll tell you that right now.
It'll be here before we know it.
It's gonna be fun, and because it's only January, Nate. So it's only mid January. We got
true
plenty
words.
Of time. We got some more true work. We've got plenty of time. We're going to have other events and stuff lined up. We just got to get them nailed down, right?
That's right.
Look out for those. That's all I got. Sean.
Yes.
Let's get to the main thing here. Other than the dad joke. What are we going to talk about? What's the topic?
We're traveling over east to here anyway, and we're going to go to Massachusetts.
The great state of Massachusetts.
The great state of Massachusetts. And we're going to talk about haunted Mount Greylock.
Man. Which is,
it sounds
we've
cool,
talked about,
it?
It's in between New York City and Boston.
That's right.
Yeah, home of the Red Sox. I just want to throw that out.
I knew where you were going with
so
that.
Do you have a little foundation on it, sir, please?
I certainly do. It sounds ominous. I just have to say that, by the way. I just say it. Almost as scary
haunted
as
haunted Mount Greylock.
Mount Doom or something like that. Mount Greylock State Reservation is public recreation and nature preservation area on and around Mount Greylock, the highest point in the U.S. state of Massachusetts. I don't know why they have to put that way on Wikipedia, but whatever. The park covers some 12,000 acres in the towns of Landsboro, North Adams, Cheshire, Williamstown, and New Ashford, Massachusetts. It was created in 1898 as Massachusetts' first public land for the purpose of forest preservation. At the top of it, it has a war memorial, which is very eye-catching. But yeah, it's the highest point or the highest summit, like I said, in Massachusetts. So it overlooks.
Does it say
Massachusetts?
What the elevation is by chance? Does it give any
elevation? Is 3,081 feet, so that's 939 meters.
Okay, so 3,000 feet.
Huh?
Gotcha.
Sounds high to me. For Massachusetts, that's pretty high.
Yeah, I haven't been to any state parks or any regions that have some. Well, I mean, I have been to the Smoky Mountains, and I have been to the where else have I been? I'm trying to think. The Red Rock in Arizona. Arizona. And, of course, when we were taking one of the Jeep tours on our honeymoon, the highest elevation there was a little over 7,000. Mm-hmm. And so I can picture what they're – and I'm like, it's pretty good decent. I mean, it's not – Mount Everest, which is 25 or 26,000 feet. But nice little hike, 7,000. So, but 3,000, you figure out the state of Massachusetts isn't.
It's pretty high.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that tower is 93 foot, and that's pretty tall for a tower up. Again, I don't know why I'm saying just in Massachusetts, that's a tall tower. That's a tall tower anyway, but
yeah.
The Veterans War Memorial, it is the crown of the summit, it says. So it was built between 1931 and 1932 and dedicated in
33. Nice. Do you want to start with any particular story, any regarding the creepy or any history of?
A little bit of the history, because these are the... I watched videos, obviously, of the folklore and the ghost stories and all that stuff, because there's tons. I mean, there's cryptids here, there's ghosts, there are old, just some really cool stories. Not sure whether they're true or not, but they're super creepy.
They're true.
But absolutely, they're true. But a lot of the same areas keep hearing about them as you're talking, as they're talking about this area. There was one guy, I just watched his video about hiking through here, and it's beautiful, number one. It's really, really, really pretty. And like I said, it has a lot of cool history. But it says workers with the Civilian Conservation Corps were active in the reservations during the 1930s. Their efforts undertaken from 33 to 39 included construction of the Boscombe Lodge, the Thunderbolt Ski Trail and Thunderbolt Shelter, and improved road access to the summit. And these places are a lot of where happenings are occurring in some of the paranormal. And like I said, there's some really good sightings and stories behind that kind of stuff.
You're saying that it might be, since it's got kind of multiple aspects of the paranormal, kind of like Skinwalker Ranch, possibly?
You got it. Oh,
nice. I like it.
It's a Skinwalker Ranch. It's a gateway to a lot of answers.
The East Coast. Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is people think that, there's not a lot of happenings on, the coasts of our country, but actually there's more than you know. Like, and then when you start investigating, like, I had no idea about this place. I mean, like, I've never heard of a lot of haunted Massachusetts, but is when you look into it, it's like, whoa, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the name itself is a good start. Mount Greylock. Yeah, I like it. Says it was the Harry Potter fans. Lost my place here. Says if you're not a J.K. Rowling fan, you would likely know that her Harry Potter series takes place in England. Says, where is it at? Says one, where am I at? Says a series of online short stories from Rowling and out Friday. The film, I remember, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. It says, finally show fans what her North American magical world looks like. Says, one of those online stories tells the tale of a school of witchcraft and wizardry located on Mount Greylock in northwestern Massachusetts. So, and it says, in Rowling's world, North American witches and wizards attend, Ilvermorny, a school perched on the summit of Mount Greylock. That's cool. I did not know that.
It was also the inspiration for Moby Dick. Melville's Moby Dick, which I thought was kind of cool too. I did not know that either.
Yeah. Henry David Thoreau spent a night atop the mountain. Says during a hike in 1844. Says when he woke up the next morning, Thoreau was surrounded by a fog so thick that he could not see any of the surrounding land below. Says in his first novel, he calls the site an undulating country of clouds. So didn't we talk about? Yeah, we talked about Thoreau. Mm-hmm. What was the
Henry David?
Back on it. Yeah, but what's the Henry? But what's the
On Golden Pond or not on Golden Pond? Walden Pond is what he wrote. His writing. He lived there and wrote like his
Okay, I'm thinking.
Expertise, I guess I should say, or his philosophies on living and simple living. Gotcha. He moved out. He was a great like philosopher and theological thinker, and nature was his big thing, was getting out. And he was a rebel too against. Henry David Thoreau was one of the first for civil disobedience.
Oh, really? Okay. I don't know much about him.
He wrote an essay on it. So this is well before, like the civil rights movement and all that kind of stuff. But Henry David Thoreau was somebody that really bucked the system. And thank God he did, honestly, inspired a lot of people. He also says, like, basically, choose your path and then go confidently into the direction of, your path, your dharma, whatever you want to call it, your purpose.
Destiny.
So he was, right? And so he's a tough dude.
I don't know him. No,
either of you ever heard of the legend of the old coot?
Yes. I was hoping Nate got this one. Because
you're throwing names around, Nate.
This one made me, exactly right. That's what we call Todd around here.
Yeah, the old coot.
This is my favorite one, and I think this is well-suited for Nate.
Give us the story, Nate.
All right. Here we go. In 1861, a farmer from North Adams named William Saunders left home to fight in the Civil War. Saunders left his wife, Belle, and their children on their farm and promised to return before long. While he was away fighting in the war, Saunders sent hundreds of letters to his wife and children, who waited faithfully for his return. About a year after he left, his wife received a letter stating that Saunders had been seriously wounded by a cannonball during battle and was unlikely to survive. This was the last news Belle ever received about her husband. Belle was deeply upset and feared the worst for her husband, but continued to tend the farm and live in hope that he would still one day return. She hired a young farm worker named Milton Clifford to help with the running of the farm. As time went on, she realized her husband must have passed away from his injuries, and she eventually married Milton, who adopted her children. The war ended in 1865, and all of the soldiers returned to their pre-war lives. One of these soldiers was an injured, bedraggled, and unshaven William Saunders, who had managed to survive his injuries and continued fighting in the war. An exhausted and gaunt Saunders made his way back to his hometown of Adams. The locals no longer recognized him due to his war injuries, so he was able to anonymously inquire about his family before returning home. To his horror, he was told his wife had moved on and his children were calling the new man Daddy.
Oh.
Saunders was devastated, and instead of going to the farm to reunite with his family, he retreated back into the mountains. Near Mount Greylock, in the remote portion of Bellows Pipe, he found a satisfactory spot and built him a crude cabin. He lived out the rest of his days in this small cabin, occasionally going to work on neighboring farms. It is said he even went to work on his family's home, joining his wife and children at the dinner table without being recognized due to the scarring on his horrific from his horrific injuries.
Mm.
The locals called him Old Coot, as he refused to give his real name. He embraced his new name and became a part of the scenery at Mount Greylock. One cold January day, some hunters stumbled upon Old Coot's shack and went inside for shelter. Inside, they found the body of Old Coot, who seemed to have passed away some time before. Before they could react, the spirit of the Old Coot shot out of his body, out the door, and up the mountainside. To this day, hikers claim to see the spirit of Old Coot ascending the peak near the Thunderbolt Trails and Bellows Pipe, but never going in the opposite direction. Either way, one cold winter day in January, hunters stumbled upon his shack where they found the Old Coot dead. It was one of the coldest winters on record, and it appeared that poor William Saunders had frozen to death in his bed.
Ooh.
They were more than frightened when his spirit jumped from his body, bolted out the door. Again, same story. To this day, the bedraggled spirit is seen on Mount Greylock, always ascending to the peak.
Isn't that cool?
Man.
I love the fact that he's only going up, not down.
Here's a Old Coot. Did you see the story or the picture?
It says, yes, I did.
Old Coot in a photo published in the North Adams Transcript, 1939.
Because he's like a shadow person, yeah.
He's awake. Yeah, you got that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good story. Poor Old Coot.
I know.
Or Billy Saunders.
Well, there's some. That's such a famous story, and then the haunting is so famous, and people still see him. And then other people say, like, "Oh, it might have just been made up." But it's like, I don't know. I like to think that the old coot's really out there protecting those woods.
Yeah. To go along with that picture, they said that someone managed to get a picture of him. The reader claimed to have been on a ghost hunting expedition near Mount Greylock. He was alone at his camp when he suddenly saw a strange man trudging through the snowy woods towards him. The man was very skinny and wearing a ragged Civil War uniform.
Because they said he would have come home in a tattered uniform. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess he got injured and had to, rehabilitate and recoup. And then by the time he got home, they just assumed he was dead, and he didn't want to ruin his family's, they had obviously already grieved him, so that he didn't want to bother all that. So it's kind of cool.
Bedraggled. Was that the word?
Bedraggled.
Now that's a word. I've never heard that one.
They painted a picture of him kind of coming home and leaning up against his fence, seeing his property for the first time in years, obviously, and looking around and watching his kids run around and his wife, kissing another man. And the man, supposedly, from some of the stories I heard, was that he actually was a farmhand that was on that property, so she knew him and felt comforted by him. So that's why she basically, took him on, or he took her on, whatever, to get married. But he just kind of looked and thought, yeah, I'm not going to do this to him. I'm going to exit out the picture, which is pretty amazing. But yeah, so I just become a mountain hermit, right?
Mountain coot.
Oh, a mountain coot. Well, the funny thing, this was such a lush area, and they said with all the different deforestation and everything, that a lot of the like native spirits and everything, because there's obviously native tribes that were in this area. And
wait a minute,
different,
don't say it.
I'm going to say it.
They're don't going, you dare.
Native Americans. And that they said a lot of them are not happy with, the way the land has been treated.
Yeah,
so they say a lot of those spirits are back for vengeance or to try to protect Mother Nature, This is an interesting one that says there are also many tales relating to the Bennington Bigfoot. In 1879, two Pawnee men saw a creature being about 5 feet high, that didn't sound that high, resembling a man in form and movement, but covered all over with bright red hair and having a long, straggly beard with very wild eyes. That sounds like a couple people I've met before. Yeah, right, Gingerfoot. A similar figure was sighted by Art and Ella Rosenberg, who lived at Sheep Hill, and then by Dave and Barbara Taylor while horseback riding on Berlin Road.
What's the name of the thing?
Bennington Bigfoot.
I was thinking Burlington.
Bennington.
Like Burlington Copac. Bennington Bigfoot is a ginger. That's cool. Yeah, it's so far it's got everything. It's got an old coot.
Cryptid.
Bigfoot, cryptid. Nice. Here, I've got a little story here. Berkshire County says has no lack of haunted places. Quite the contrary, the county is downright spooky. There are disembodied voices, echoing footsteps, and mysterious shadowy figures reported from the North County to South. Ghosts show no preference. In South County, the ghosts are sighted everywhere. Here's the odd part. While certain of the presence of ghosts, no one is certain of the identity of the ghost. In North County, there were reports of strange voices in a tunnel and strange lights in a house. On Mount Greylock, a luminous ghost appeared and caused hikers to lose their footing. Here is a rundown of the sightings. It says, at Highwood on the grounds of Tanglewood in Stockbridge, there is a dining room on the main floor and offices on the upper floors. Dining at Highwood is delightful. No diner has reported seeing ghosts. However, on the upper floors, workers have reported door slamming, boards creaking, and lights going on and off by themselves. It says, moreover, there was a sighting of a semi-transparent man flamboyantly dressed in a cape and hat set at a rockish angle. Many reported seeing this ghost. Some observers reported that he looked like Leonard Bernstein, while others claimed it was Serge Kozovitsky, something. It says, everyone was certain that they saw the ghost, but uncertain who the ghost was. That's kind of creepy. Kovetsky. Kusovitsky. I give up. We'll call him Serge. SK. So there you go. I like it. I like it a lot. What you guys got?
All right. I got this Hoosac Tunnel. It's not necessarily part of Mount Greylock, but it's in the same mountain region and county and all that jazz. It is in the Hoosac River Valley, and it was built in 1819. A route was proposed to transfer goods from Boston to the west. So they made this 5-mile tunnel. And I'm going to just try to paraphrase this. There's a lot of information here. The dig was plagued with problems from the beginning. When steam-driven boring machines, hand drills, and gunpowder proved to be too slow, builders turned to new, untried methods, namely nitroglycerin.
Oh.
An extremely powerful and unstable explosive, the tunnel claimed close to 200 human lives over the course of its 20-year construction, earning the nickname The Bloody Pit.
I like it.
Work was merciless but precise. When the two ends met in the middle, the alignment was off by only 1/2 inch. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's see. So on March 20th, 1865, Ned Brinkman and Kelly Nash were buried alive when a foreman named Ringo Kelly, not Ringo Starr, Ringo Kelly accidentally set off a blast of dynamite. Fearing retaliation, Ringo disappeared, but 1 year later, he was found strangled at the site of the accident.
Oh, man.
2 miles into the tunnel. No one witnessed the crime, but most men agreed the ghost of Ned and Kelly had taken their revenge. The most costly accident in the tunnel's history occurred the following year in October, on October 17th, halfway through the digging of the 1,000-foot vertical aperture called the central shaft, which was designed to relieve the buildup of exhaust in the tunnel. 13 men were working 538 feet deep.
Oh, man.
When a naphthalia lamp ignited the hoist building above them, sending flaming debris and sharpened drill bits raining down. The explosion destroyed the shaft's pumping system, and the pit soon started filling up with water. When the workers recovered the bodies several months later, they discovered that several of the men had survived long enough to construct a raft in a desperate attempt to escape the rising waters. The accident halted construction for the better part of a year. Let's see. When work resumed, laborers reported hearing a man's voice cry out in agony, and many walked off the job, claiming the tunnel was cursed. Through the 19th century, local newspapers reported headless blue apparitions, ghostly workmen that left no footprints in the snow, and disappearing hunters in and around Bloody Pit. As recent as 1974, a man who set out to walk the length of the tunnel was never heard from again.
That's good.
That's, I mean, that's creepy.
Bad, but good. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Wow.
And pictures are pretty cool.
Let me see. Oh yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's going back to 1819. That's over 200 years ago. Yeah, I can see them. Yeah, cool. Good story, Nate.
Yeah, I like that one.
Did you guys hear anything about the Eunice Williams covered bridge?
No.
This is creepy. On February 29th, 1704, a band of Mohawk Indians and French savagely attacked the village of Deerfield, killing many citizens and taking more than 100 captives, including the town's minister, Reverend John Williams. The Indians then drove the captives in a death march toward a camp in Canada. The attackers were brutal, striking down anyone who could keep up, or who could not keep up, excuse me. Others starved to death. Eunice Williams, wife of the Reverend, had given birth just a few hours before the attack. She felt her strength failing and knew she would soon be killed. She said goodbye to her husband with the wish that he and at least some of their children would survive. While crossing a river in Greenfield, not far from today's Mohawk Trail, Eunice fell and was instantly struck and killed by a tomahawk blow. Her body, soaked with water and blood, was left behind while the march continued. The surviving captives were held in Canada for nearly 2 years until they were finally set free or redeemed. John Williams and two of the Williams children returned home, but a third, also called Eunice, chose to stay with the Indians. The notorious unredeemed captive later married one of the tribe and, despite repeated attempts, mostly rejected the English ways for the rest of her life. Taken from her home, her newborn child ripped from her arms, driven on a forced march, hacked to death in a cold river, and finally scorned by her namesake and daughter, some believe the spirit of Eunice Williams is still not at rest. Legend has it that her ghost can be seen at night in the water or inside the covered bridge that now bears her name. It is said that Eunice can be summoned to appear, perhaps believing that her family has finally returned to her.
Oh, wow.
Ugh, that's a weird one. Like but fun.
It. Yeah. Again, I like it.
Sad. Creepy cool.
Yeah. That's what we like here. Creepy mm-hmm. cool. We're creepy cool, right?
Creeptastic.
Creeptastic. More on Mount Greylock I have here, since we're talking about Mount Greylock, right?
Oh, we are.
As says, a matter of fact. Many hikers claim turning a bend in the trail or just over a bluff, they've come upon a ghost. Okay, you don't say. This one is a tricky ghost or perhaps a jokester. Says the upshot can be and has been a trip and fall. It really seems to those who have seen it that the Greylock ghost wants something. It is polite to respond to it. It also may be safer. Some report that the Greylock ghost, through pantomime or direct speech, is inviting you to jump off, get off of its mountain, stand your ground. If the ghost cannot make its wishes clear, if all the clanging, bumping, howling, and zephyrs of cold air signify nothing, you can politely ignore the aberration altogether. But it may be best with dignity just to move on. So the Greylock ghost.
Move along.
move along. Double G, Greylock ghost.
That's right.
G squared. So, yeah. A trickster, they say. Or a jokester. Sorry, jokester. I like that story. What else you got, Nate, Sean, on the Mount Greylock here? Excuse me.
I've got one about Edith Wharton Estate. It's on the mount.
Mm.
One of the great writers of her time, Edith Wharton, penned a number of ghost stories and gave us a number of haunting characters as well. Can you just envision a phantom Ethan Frome careening down a snow-covered hill with Maddie Silver collapsed to his back on a collision course with a massive elm? It's said, though, that the spirit of Wharton herself lingers on at the mount. The author's beloved Lennox Estate, built in 1902, visitors report hearing Wharton laugh. Overnight guests are awakened by strange noises. Some say that a hooded figure presses down on them while they sleep. Mm. Founders of Shakespeare and Company, the theater troupe that called the Mount home for many years, reported strange occurrences, footsteps, laughter, and sounds almost from the start of their tenancy. Some claim that the fellow author Henry James joins his friend Wharton in haunting the site. Just a couple of ghostwriters hanging out. The pair look imposing but never harm anyone. It's hard to imagine the genteel Edith Wharton haunting anyone or rattling anything but teacups and pressing down on guests while they sleep. That does not sound quite like the Age of Innocence. Still, one never knows.
Mm, that's a good story. I like that, Sean. Good. Do we want to try to go to the Mount Greylock?
Yeah.
I don't see why not.
If we've decided to go, not go, and then go to the Everglades, we definitely have to go to the mountains.
I agree.
Mount Greylock, just the name Mount Greylock is alluring.
Well, it is. Like I said, Amy and I, we've talked about doing sometime down the road just a vacation with us too, and taking that New England trip. going to all the beautiful Vermont, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, all that.
Mount Gray, like baby.
Maybe catch a Red Sox game. I don't know. We'll see. While we're there. I mean, it's just while we're there. But anyway, we can go to this nice Mount Gray lock, and I'll say, oh, I had no idea.
That you're going to run into the old coot.
Yeah, well, one old coot to another.
Right, exactly.
Hey, you weren't supposed to laugh at that, Sean.
Oh, yep, sorry.
Yeah, I like to go check it out. It's beautiful. My gosh, there's a picture that look at that. It's a real speaking of gray lock, but it's just that misty, cloudy.
It's true. It's creepy, but it's also got some beautiful pictures from it too. It is. We call a lot of places God's country, but this is definitely a God's country kind of area.
Yeah, just the valley. I had never heard of it until we started talking about it.
I've got one more really good story. This is the Houghton Mansion Masonic Lodge, North Adams. It's chauffeur John Witters. Chauffeur John Witters was a happy man living in North Adams during the early 1900s. He worked for a well-known family headed by wealthy patriarch Albert C. Houghton, who had served as the city's mayor. Apparently, Witters was treated like a member of the family, doting on the Houghton children, especially the youngest daughter, Mary, whom he had watched grow to womanhood. Through careful investment, Witters had saved a nest egg himself and looked forward to a peaceful old age. Everything changed, however, on August 1st, 1911, when a family motor outing turned deadly. Witters was at the wheel of the big Pierce Arrow as it slowly climbed the daunting Pownall Center Hill. Workmen in the road forced him to take a wider path, and another vehicle provided another obstacle. Suddenly, the gravel shoulder gave out, sending the auto and its passengers plunging down the slope. Sybil Houghton was crushed by the car's roof and killed. Mary Houghton was pronounced dead a few hours later. The other passengers were shaken but not seriously hurt. As the shocked town grieved, chauffeur John took the blame on himself, rejecting attempts of comfort from friends. He walked alone into a barn behind the mansion. He never walked out. Friends found him later with a bullet to his head.
Ooh.
Family patriarch A.C. I know it's an uplifting story, isn't it? Family patriarch A.C. Houghton never fully recovered emotionally from the tragedy. He later had a stroke and was dead within 3 years after the accident. Folks say that the chauffeur John still hasn't forgiven himself. In 1920, the mansion was sold to the Masonic Lodge, which still uses the building as a headquarters. Many times over the years, footsteps have been heard in the building, but no spirit has been seen. Reports of unexplained footsteps are most common on the stairs leading to the third floor where John Witters once slept. Mm-hmm. People had reported feeling an icy blast of air on the stairs as the unforgiven spirit of chauffeur John Witters passes by, heading up the stairs as he once headed up the fateful hill.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy? There's some good stories in this place.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean.
Super creepy.
Yeah, I'd like to just check out the region, but this. Specifically this Mount Greylock area. Yeah, I think that's the place to go. Nate, do you have anything?
I'm not sure yet.
Well, I'm going to mention this. This is
no.
for any...
that's a no. I found a cool story, but it's quite a ways from Mount Greylock. Mount Greylock's there, and it's down here in Lenox. Okay.
Well, here's a... it's a fictional... book. I was thinking about you, Sean, since you like to read, and it's called.
You call me a bookie.
This is weird. It's called Greylock.
Yeah, no way.
No, but by Paula Kappa. Mm-hmm. She is the author of The Dazzling Darkness. It is a supernatural murder mystery. I'll just read the first paragraph to kind of give you a little idea about it. Alexei George is obviously the fictional character. Was born to be a famous musician. His father was a pianist. And Alexei's only desire was to follow in his footsteps. Alexei has created a name for himself by writing and performing a sonata called October. At least that's what people believe. Alexei has a dark secret. He found the sonata in an old 19th century Russian sea chest. When he performs it, a dark creature appears and stalks him, and now his career is going downhill.
Ooh.
So it is called Greylock by Paula Kappa. I mm-hmm. thought that was a just a
I saw that, that
little
cool.
extra little
extra.
Yeah, I don't know who
I'm ordering as
is.
We speak. No,
yeah, yeah.
I probably should.
There you go. Yeah, Greylock. So anyway, I'm out of Greylock stories. I don't know.
I still am in love with the name. Truly.
Mount Greylock.
It just feels like a final destination, though. Someplace you'd go and not feels come like back from.
There should be a warlock at Greylock.
That's probably right.
What do you think? I don't know. Yeah. Haunted warlock at Haunted Greylock. That's a lot to say. I mean,
well, between inspiring Moby Dick, inspiring Harry Potter, I feel a little Lord of the Rings vibe going on with some of the stuff. Mm. Yeah. I've got my cinematic fill here.
Mm.
If I can speak.
Well, good. That's good. I I hope the creepies enjoyed that little discussion.
I think the fact that we're doing two fulls is showing the fact that we're starting to lose the ability to speak clearly, which I barely can do normally. So.
And we usually do that at the beginning of the first episode.
That's right.
That we record. So anyway, good job.
I'm
good
impressed.
Choice.
This has been a recording marathon.
It has. I'm going to go. Let's move on from the topic. That was fun. Let's go with your middle-aged...
You son of a gun. Don't you get
Dark Side.
Right? Yes! Yes!
It's just a feeling I have.
It's not.
Oh, it's not. Nope. It's a middle-aged moment, huh? Oh,
I love
shoot.
It. The fact
it ruined
that
my streak.
I really... I thought... This is how...
It shows
this
I'm human.
This is how it's going to go. I'm going to... I wanted to do a Dark Side, to be fair. So you were right on that inclination. But I thought, I'm not going to do a Dark Side. I'm going to do a Light Side. But then you're going to think, oh, he's going to think of that. So then he's going to do the Light Side. So I figured you're going to do middle-aged moment.
Is this a long story?
No. It is a long story. But so you were kind of right, honestly, in a weird way. But then
I'll take the L.
I tried to dupe you. But if I keep duping you back and forth, eventually I'm going to mess you up. So, okay. So this is a middle-aged moment. Okay. Your streak is over. So this is John Denver. Take Me Home, Country Roads. Because it's just, even though this is more of a West. Yeah, right.
I grew up on that song.
I love John Denver, number one. This is Ella's, one of her favorite songs she used to love. I always sang to the kids and throughout the years. And one of the songs I would love to sing to them is Country Roads. Take Me Home, Country Roads. And Ella loves this song. She still to this day loves this song.
I do too.
And she would say, instead of West Virginia, she'd say West Virginia. And I still, when I sing it to her, she's like, it's not really Virginia. But I was like, that's how you love to say it, though. So this is John Denver, the late, great John Denver. Take Me Home, Country Roads, Almost Heaven, West Virginia, Ella, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country Roads, Take Me Home, to the place I belong, West Virginia, Mountain Mama, Take Me Home, Country Roads. All my memories gather round her, miner's lady, stranger to blue water. Dark and dusty, painted on the sky, misty taste of moonshine, teardrop in my eye. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home, country roads. I hear her voice in the morning hour, she calls me. The radio reminds me of my home far away. Driving down the road, I get a feeling that I should have been home yesterday. Country homes, my goodness sakes, I'm getting tired. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home, country roads. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home, country roads. It goes on and on a little bit more, but I'm not going to say it.
Good choice.
You like it? Just all this beauty of Mount Greylock.
I'm a JD
in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm, yeah. It just made me think of that. I kept thinking of Country Roads.
That song was written in 1971, the year I was born.
Yeah.
So, you know, that just throw that in there.
I love watching John Denver perform live. And one of my favorite memories as a kid is watching the Muppets. And I remember Denver being, and he loved being on the Muppets.
Yeah. And I liked him in Oh God and Oh God Part 2.
Oh, fantastic.
John Denver, I grew up with him as a kid, so I liked all his songs, yeah. Mm-hmm. Good choice. Excellent choice. Let's move on to the second announcements, please.
I just happen to have those over here in front of me. You can follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and X. You can email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two ways. We are on all podcast listening apps. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Give us a 5-star rating and leave a review if the app allows. Tell someone you know or don't know about the podcast. We sell all kinds of awesome merch with now 2 cool designs, so go get you some. We offer many types of show sponsorship opportunities for individuals and businesses. It's another way for you to support us, get your name mentioned and or your business promoted. Please email us, reach out to one of us, or message us on Instagram for more information. If you're enjoying our show, these are ways to help and show us support.
Nice job. Good job.
Sweet.
Sounds
pretty clean. Yes.
Sweet.
So I'm rehired. Do not cut my mic.
You're still on probation. No, that's good. You're on a 3-year probation. We'll see how we do in March. We'll see.
Is this kind of like my son getting grounded for a year or whatever, or two, you know, that turned in 2 weeks?
Oh.
actually, till he was 90. But
gotcha. 90. Thank you, Sean. Nate?
You're most welcome.
What do you have for us to end this?
Country roads take me home, and that's a wrap.
Man, that was good. That was
makes
good.
Me smile.
I do. Yeah, I know. It gives me goosebumps. Hey, thanks, Nate, and thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 150 and our discussion on the spooky haunted Mount Greylock. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.